Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening on this Sunday, November 24th, 2024. Go ahead.
Almost the end of the year.
Almost. It's hard to believe. Time is just flying by. And, you know, we weren't here last week. I was out of town, and we couldn't get in the studio in time. But thanks to Ray Powers, he ran a program for us. So we're really grateful that he gets us on here every week, whether we're in the studio or not. He makes it happen. Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope and what we do each week.
Well, Prophecies of Hope is a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, and we've been around since maybe 2013, something like that.
As a ministry, yeah.
And so we have services on Wednesday evening. We have a prayer meeting / Bible study time, which is at 7 p.m., which is available via Zoom. And we have our church service on Saturday, or the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study at 9:30 that's live streamed and available via Zoom. And our worship hour is live streamed at 11.
11 a.m., yeah. Very good. And so, you know, I was just thinking, 2012 was when we did our first Bible prophecy series.
Right.
That's a long time.
Right.
You know, here we're approaching 2025. It's amazing. It doesn't seem like I've known you that long.
Yet. No, you're right.
But we've been through a lot together, though.
Yeah.
In spite of that, you know, when you stop and you think about it, we've gone through a lot of studies. We've learned so much from one another, from reading the Bible together and studying through. And we continue to learn each and every week,
right.
Don't we?
We've done a lot of physical work as well.
We have. Oh. You know, if you know anything about this ministry, we should talk about that sometime. Oh. How did this church come about? Wouldn't that be nice to kind of go through that one week and just let people know a little bit about this ministry and how we started as far as, you know, doing a prophecy series together and how we ended up in this location where we are now and how God's truly working. I mean, it's amazing. It's miraculous that we have met, that we are in this location, that we're on this broadcast each week. These are things that we did not arrange.
Right?
I mean, it's a fact. And some people might say, well, how could that be? Well, you know what? Maybe in the coming weeks, we'll talk about those things. Because we're coming up on a new year soon, which you mentioned just a moment ago. This year's almost gone. And a lot of people, you know, when they think of a new year, they think of goals and things they want to begin to do. And so, you know, maybe one of your goals would be to read the Bible each week. If you're listening to this program, or each day, or try to read the Bible through in a year, you might even say, hey, let me try to read the Bible in 6 months. And it's quite a task. It really is. And then after you do it, to do it again. And so doing those things gives you so much more appreciation for who God is and who His Son is, if you just let the Bible speak to you.
Right.
I know you've come to appreciate that, Ed, in your studies.
And even more so, I've been doing a study for the last number of months about the characters or the people that God used to bring about the Reformation during the Middle Ages. And it's just been impressed on me over and over and over again that these people depended upon the Word of God to know what truth is.
They did.
They didn't depend upon a church or a preacher. In fact, they were teaching things against most churches and preachers of that day because they read the Bible and believed what it said and thought everyone needs to know what the Bible says.
Yeah, and that was a very powerful time to be alive. I mean, they were coming out of the Dark Ages, right? And they had so many Christians had been tortured for going against what the church was dominantly teaching.
Put to death.
Yeah. And so, you know, in a very small way, I mean, we've never been tortured or anything, but we've been ostracized and outed by friends and people that we loved.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about. You know, maybe we could share some of those things. And you might say, well, why would I want to read the Bible if it causes me all of that trouble? Well, you know, having a relationship with God and His Son is so worth anything that you may go through. And unless you've experienced it, I can't explain it.
It will change your life. It will give you hope in your life where you can't find this hope any other place.
In this world that we live in now, things are so out of whack. Mm-hmm. But I have peace. And Ed, I know you have peace. Mm-hmm. And yes, we're affected by the world. It sometimes it gets under my skin. Mm-hmm. But if I didn't have this hope that we have, if I didn't have this God's word to cling to in Jesus Christ, I would be miserable.
The hope isn't within ourselves.
No, it's not. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes. Yeah.
This is what we're going to actually be covering. We're going to continue where we left off in Romans 8 two weeks ago. So, Ed, would you have a prayer for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again thankful for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, and to read about the hope that it gives in our lives, the hope through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we read these things, may we consider these things for our own personal lives. May we consider how we need Christ in our lives to change who we are. And, Father, we thank you for this gift of sending the Spirit of your Son into our hearts. And so, Father, as we read these things, we ask for wisdom and knowledge to understand these things and to guide us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we've been talking about this thing of walking in the Spirit.
Right.
And the Bible contrasts walking in the Spirit to walking in the flesh in Galatians. So can we just kind of review Galatians chapter 5 before we go on? And, friends, I know we've been through this. But
and the reason we're talking about this, because in Romans 8, the answers to Paul's problems of how do I live my life the way I want to live it? I always do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. And he knows that the law of God is good, just, righteous, holy, spiritual. And so he says in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that's why we're talking about this.
Yeah. And so one of the things that it says in Romans 8:14, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, right? So if we are led by God's Spirit and we're doing the will of God, then we have that hope that we're talking about.
Right.
And again, it doesn't come from within us.
Right.
And Paul recognizes that his feeling, there's two laws within him.
Yes, the law of sin, which leads to death, that he's inherited, and through Christ Jesus, we have the law, God's law, written in our heart.
Amen. And we talked about that some 2 weeks ago when we actually went back and we looked at some of the texts where God, the commandments haven't changed, but the location of the commandments have changed from the Ark of the Covenant, or that golden or wood chest covered with gold, to the chest.
There's so many things that Christ in your life brings you. Galatians 4:6 says that God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He's the mediator. He's the only way that we have access to God, His Father, and His God.
Yes.
And so we receive the Spirit of God if we have the Spirit of Christ in us.
Amen.
Which, I don't know if we read that far into Romans 8 yet or not, but it talks about Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Or we don't have this relationship with the Father without Christ.
Right. And so let's pick up there in Galatians, or not, I'm sorry, Romans 8:10. This is a review. We didn't get through all of Romans 8. It says in verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So this means that the things that I want to do, if Christ is in me, he helps me to overcome those natural sinful tendencies that I was born with.
Right. Before we get to Galatians 5, let me read John 8.
Okay.
Verses 31 through 36.
All right.
This is the modern King James Version, starting with verse 31 of John 8. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. Continue my word. If you listen to my words, if you do the things I tell you to, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to anyone. How do you say you will be made free? Now, if you know the history of the nation of Israel, of the Jewish nation, you know that they were in bondage. They were slave in Egypt for 400 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I don't really understand their answer that we were never in bondage to anyone. But let's go on in verse 34. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever practices sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, if Jesus will make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so that's what we're talking about here in Romans 8, having been made free from sin.
Yes. And so we are born into this tendency because of what Adam and Eve did.
Right.
They disobeyed God. So we don't have a choice as far as how we were born.
Right.
But we do have a choice as to whether we can be born again.
Yes.
Right?
In fact, Jesus tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you need to be born again.
Yes.
Born of the water and born of the Spirit.
And I know this is a term that if you're a Christian, I know you've heard this. And some of you that maybe you're not familiar with that term. But being born again means that we die to who we were, which it talks about in Romans 6.
Yes.
And that's what led to the study that we're talking about. So we have to die to our former course of life, to the things that we naturally want to do, and take up Jesus and allow him into our heart.
He's the one that causes the change. He's the one that brings God, his Father, into our hearts.
Amen.
And so let's go to Galatians.
Okay.
And just tell us what it means about walking in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit.
Well, let's just read what God's Word says here. If we start in verse 16, Galatians 5:16, does that look like a good place?
Sure.
It says, and this is the Apostle Paul, and just in case you're tuning in for the first time or maybe new to this program, Paul was a man who, his name was Saul, and he used to persecute people. He would persecute Christians.
Right.
And he actually was guilty of being right there when Christians have been killed.
Right.
And so this is some of the changes that he has had to make in his life. So here in verse 16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Mm-hmm. And Ed, just give that a little explanation for us. What does that mean? If I'm led by the Spirit, I'm not under this law.
Well, if you're led by the Spirit, we'll get to the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of the Spirit that's listed, Paul says there's no law against doing those things.
Okay.
So when you're led by the Spirit, those things that involved in that, there's no law against those things. So you're
right.
Not breaking the law, so you don't come under the penalty of the law.
There you go. You don't come under the penalty. So verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are, they're evident. And it says, which are? And listen carefully to these things, friends, because Paul said, you're not under the law, but all of these things have to do with the law.
Right.
And here's what it says. These works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So then he gives us this contrast. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Right.
And so that's what walking in Christ, having Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has this experience on earth that we have. He came as a human being. He came and was made in all ways like his brothers, according to Hebrews chapter 2. And in Romans 8, the very beginning, it says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He's had our experience. He's suffered the things that we suffer in life. And yet, he was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. So he has this experience that he can help us overcome sin in our lives because he did that very same thing.
Yes. You know, in these fruits of the Spirit, one of them is faithfulness.
Uh-huh.
And I have a definition here of faithfulness. It says persuasion, that is credence, moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God, reliance upon Christ for salvation.
Yeah.
And it says the gospel, the truth itself, assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. That's the definition of this word faithfulness. So when we talk about having faith and understanding and knowing who Christ is, knowing who his Father is, you know, there were people that, well, Paul, the man who wrote this, had a firsthand experience with Jesus.
Yes.
Right? And what he's telling us is, you can have that. You can have Christ in you.
Right.
And Jesus even said that. He said, if I go away, I will come to you again.
Right.
So we can experience this, but don't expect that you're going to have faith on your own. We have to even pray for faith, don't we?
You know, Romans, I can't remember, maybe Romans 10. It talks about that God has given everyone the measure of faith.
Mm.
You know, so God has given you that ability. You have to act on it, though. You have to believe it. You have to step out in faith and believe these things. You know, you gave us a list of things of walking in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to go to 1 Corinthians 6, and it talks about some of these same things, but yet it also talks about the results of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ in you.
That's very important.
So let's, 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9.
Okay.
It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor abusers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God."
Hmm.
Now, we could stop there, but right. That leaves everybody without hope.
It does, if I just stop
so
there.
So, let's read verse 11. "And such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So, Christ came to offer this opportunity to be changed because his sacrifice on the cross forgives us of those sins. He shed his blood to bear the penalty of our sins, the penalty
yes.
I should have to bear. But not only that, we're saved by his life and that God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father," to help us overcome these things.
Yes, that's right.
You know, Jesus talks about being made free, free from sin, and that freedom comes through him.
It does. So, you know, we think about all of these things that are listed here. Yeah, I would be lost if I didn't know who Christ was because these are the natural tendencies that
right.
I'm born with. To it's contrary to the Spirit of God. It really is. And this was what Paul, he recognized this. He says, "I have these two things within me struggling. I want to do what's right, but my nature wants to do what's wrong."
Right.
So we all have that.
Yeah, and we all experience that.
And this is why we wanted to have this study, and it's taken so long to go through it, because you need to realize, friends, first of all, we have to recognize that we're broken.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like anything. If I don't know that I'm broken, then how can I get fixed?
Yeah.
And there are, you know, there I have relatives that that are alcoholic, and until they admit and recognize and acknowledge, you know, I have this problem.
Yeah.
I have this problem.
The same with sin. I'm a sinner.
That's it. And this is one of the sins, drunkenness. Yeah. It's one right. of the ones that's listed here. So we have to come to realize, okay, I have this problem. I can't overcome it in myself, so how do I do it? And this is the only way you can do it.
Yeah, our hope is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen. So let's continue. I know we've read some of these verses. We read all of these verses here before. Where do we stop in Romans here just a few moments ago? Where did I stop reading it?
We were talking about verses 8, 9, and 10.
Okay. And, yeah, so verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you."
Right.
So is this talking about in the new world, or is this talking about today?
Today. Let's go down to verses 12 and 13.
Sure.
It says, "Therefore, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh, live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body or the flesh, you shall live."
Mm-hmm.
That means put to death that old way of living.
Right.
Romans 6 talks about that old man, referring to that old man of sin.
Right.
That you put to death. When you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his death. And when you're raised out of the water, you're raised into a new life with Jesus. And that's what this is talking about, this new life, because God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts.
Yes, and remember just not long ago within this hour, I mentioned how we're all born into this condition of sin, but we have to be born again, and this is what you're talking about. We die to our sinful nature, and then we're raised up or born again into life in Christ Jesus. This is how we overcome. I know being born again sounds like an odd term, but to me it's appropriate because I have to stop doing those things that I was doing in the past. That means dying to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of my life.
Right.
I have to put them away, and I have to turn away from them. This is part of the repentance
right.
process. Repenting means turning away.
You know, when you start on this walking in the Spirit, this walking with Christ and his Father, Jehovah, it's not like you're never tempted again.
Mm.
We constantly have to decide whether or not we're going to follow God, his law, and do the things according to the way he created us to live, or if we give in to the temptations of Satan. So Satan's not going to stop. He's not going to stop tempting you or me or anyone else.
Sure. In fact, let's just take a moment just to show that this happens. This happened to the Son of God mm-hmm. also. When he was baptized, he went out into the wilderness, right? And in Matthew chapter 4.
Right.
So a lot of times we think, well, okay, I'm there. I've arrived. I'm born again. The devil's not going to bother me anymore. Well, I hate to tell you this, but I've got to be honest. Now he doesn't want you to have that relationship with God. Now he's going to maybe tempt you more than you've ever been tempted, but we have a huge advantage.
Right.
A huge advantage. Don't let that scare you.
Yeah.
Don't let that scare you. Take a look at Matthew chapter 4. Here in verse 1, it says, "Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.'" Did the devil know that Jesus was the Son of God?
Sure.
Yeah. But he's trying to get Jesus to question his own identity.
He's using that to try to control Jesus, to get him to do something he wants him to do.
Absolutely. To manipulate him.
Yeah.
And this is what happens today as well. In verse 4, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." So now we have the devil quoting scripture here. He shall give his angels charge over you, and into their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him, to Jesus.
Right. You know, that's not the last time he was tempted.
True.
There's an account here in Matthew 16. It's just three verses, verses 21 through 23. Again, this is the modern King James. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again on the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God be gracious to you, Lord. This shall never be to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Go, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you do not savor the things that are of God, but those that are of men.'" He realized that Satan was tempting him through his friend and his disciple, Peter.
And this happens often.
This happens to us, too. People can influence you to try to get you to be involved in walking in the flesh, be involved in sin.
Absolutely. And this is the way of the world.
Yeah.
And this is the devil's world at this point, right? And, you know, the key that I wanted to hone in on these things is Jesus didn't rely on himself.
Right.
This is the point. We cannot rely on ourselves. Jesus was born in the flesh as we are. Who did he rely on?
He relied on his Father.
Absolutely. And in every response here in Matthew chapter 4, every time the devil came at him, he replied with the word of God.
Right.
In other words, this is what God says. So when we have a reply, we have the Spirit of Christ to help us to recall these things. We can reply with God's word, and we can't do it in ourselves.
No.
We cannot take the devil on by ourselves. Jesus recognized this, and this is why he used God's word and put him in his place. The devil was quoting scripture, but he was misquoting scripture.
Right.
This is what he does. And so anytime anyone comes to you or you have this temptation, call on God. Ask him to help you to overcome. And this is really what was going on here. The angels came and ministered to Jesus right after this happened. That's
right.
What it says here.
Right.
So this is such an important account to me. And it helps me to recognize that, wow, you know, Jesus was tempted the same way that I've been tempted. You know, if you do this, do you know how many times in my life I've thought, wow, I've got a decision to make, and I know if I do what I want to do, this isn't going to be right.
All right. You know, this is why Jesus sent his son.
Why God sent his son.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. Yeah, this is why God sent Jesus, his son.
Amen.
Because not only to bear the penalty for our sins, but help us to overcome sin so we can have a relationship with God.
Amen.
You know, it's because sin separates us from God. That's what the Bible tells us. And so God desires to restore humanity to the relationship that he had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before they sinned.
Right.
That's what he desires. And so this is how it can be accomplished through his son, Jesus Christ. This is the whole plan of salvation.
Yes, it doesn't end at the cross.
No.
So many of us as Christians have, I mean, all of my life, Ed, until we started studying together, I didn't realize that my whole life was based on the death of Jesus. But Jesus lives.
Right.
And he lives now so that he can help us overcome. I never got that until we began doing these studies together. So this is why, you know, we come back to this a lot, friends, because every human being has this struggle.
Right.
Each and every one of us. And especially now, we need to reflect on these things and know that this is the hope. This is the gospel. This gives us a way out and a way that we see Jesus working in our lives on a daily basis.
Yes. You know, Paul experienced this personally. In Galatians chapter 2, he says in verse 20 and 21, he says, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me."
Amen.
"And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." What's he saying is, I'm a sinner. I'm not able to obey the law. I can try to obey the law, but the law can't forgive my sins that I've already committed.
Right.
It can't bleed for me and shed blood for me, but Jesus did. And not only did Jesus shed his blood for me to bear the penalty of my sins, but now with Christ living in me, I can live according to God's law.
Amen. So this is the beauty of Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8.
Mm-hmm.
This man, Paul, experienced these things firsthand. One of the foremost writers of many of the books of the New Testament has experienced the things that we've experienced. Mm-hmm. Jesus experienced the things that we've experienced.
Right.
And Paul recognizes, this is how I overcome.
Right. And Paul got his message, his gospel, from the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. He didn't learn it from anybody else.
That's right. Can we look at that account, Ed?
Sure, it's Galatians chapter 1.
All right. Because I think it's important that people see this with their own eyes, and I hope you open your Bibles here, friends. Galatians 1, where are we?
Yeah, if you could read verses 11 through at least 16, maybe 17.
Sure. Galatians 1, I'm reading from the New King James, beginning in verse 11. And again, this is the Apostle Paul wrote this. He says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus."
So look at what he says in verse 16, to reveal his Son in me.
Mm.
Through the change that Paul experienced in his life, Christ in him, the hope of glory.
Yes. And, you know, we can read of this account in the book of Acts, where Paul actually had this interaction.
Sure, yeah.
I'm going there to see.
He has three testimonies of this conversion experience in the book of Acts. First one is in Acts 9.
So did you want to read some of this?
Sure.
Ed?
Let me just start in verse 1. "And Saul," Paul's name before he was converted was Saul, so it's talking about the same person.
Right.
"There. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way," the early Christian church was called the Way.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," "whether they were men or women, that they might be brought bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. He was blind from that experience. Mm-hmm. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Now this word Lord is talking about Jesus. Arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in the vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings and the children of Israel, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. And Ananias went this way, and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and received the sight with forth, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received strength, he was strengthened. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Mm. So this amazing. Is Paul's experience. He received this message from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he immediately started to preach it. What did he preach? Preached Christ in the synagogues, that he's the Son of God.
Yeah. And so this is the difference. You see, look at Paul's life. Look at the things that changed immediately.
Yeah.
Because he was willing to make those changes. He recognized, he had a firsthand experience with Jesus, and he realized, hey, I've been doing all of these things that are wrong. I mean, maybe we've been doing these things.
Right.
Whatever it is that you have done, friends, you can overcome it.
It's simple. All you have to do is just ask for forgiveness of your sins, mm-hmm. and invite Jesus Christ into your heart to direct your life.
And pray that he will help you to overcome any of those desires, right. whatever they are. You know, if you think about it, Paul had this indoctrination in him from, you know,
his Jewish upbringing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so what he was hearing to him was heresy. And, you know, there are many things in my life that I thought was against the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And my church was teaching me something different. And then once I realized, well, wait a minute, this is contrary. Making those changes weren't easy.
No.
You know, and coming to realize I have to trust God.
Right.
I can't do this in myself. And I had to have that prayer. I can't. I even said, I can't do this. There's no way. And so I had to claim the promise, and I said, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to help me.
Yeah, what we're talking about here is the term that's used, righteousness by faith.
Amen.
We have to believe that these words written on the page are true, and that God will perform these promises in our lives through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I told you I've been studying about the Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the men I've been studying about is Martin Luther.
Yeah, great reformer.
Who was a monk in the Catholic Church. He was a preacher in the Catholic Church. He never thought he would leave the Catholic Church. But as he found a Bible and started reading it and realized what it said versus what his church said, he had to make choices, and he started preaching the Word of God, not what was commonly preached at that time.
So it wasn't popular at all with the church
leaders.
And
he was called before councils, before kings, to testify. And, you know, why aren't you doing what you should be doing? And his claim was always that this is what the Word of God says. And all the religious leaders of that time, the priests and bishops, and would come to him and say, how is it you think you're above what the church teaches? Mm-hmm. How are you alone right and everybody else is doing things another way? And he asked himself that question.
Of course.
But he always turned to the Word of God and saw what it said and saw that he was preaching what it proclaimed. And so he put his faith in the Word of God, that God was directing him through the Bible, and he stood firm.
Amen. Well, praise God for that, because if it wasn't for that, he was probably one of the chief reformers.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for that, there wouldn't have been likely a Reformation. And it shows how Christ was working in him.
Yes.
And he stood firm.
Did he know everything about God's Word? No.
No.
Do we say we know everything about God's Word? No.
No way.
No.
You know, and this has been a process. It's life is it's a journey.
Yes.
You know, and what path do we take? Do we take that easy path that's wide and there's a lot of people on it? Or do we take that narrow road Jesus talked about?
What's it called? The straight gate?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he says, straight is the way and narrow the gate, isn't it? That leads to eternal life.
Right.
And only a few find it.
That's so sad.
It is sad. And maybe part of the reason is because it's so easy to go with the flow.
Right?
It's very easy. And I've had that feeling yet. I think I've told you in the past. I don't know that I've ever said it here. But when I realized that what the Bible said versus what my church was teaching, it was a lonely feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was pointing these things out and saying, look, this is what it says here. Oh, but that's not right. If that's right, the church will tell us.
Yeah.
That was the answer I'd get.
Right.
It was lonely.
Those that are listening, you may have friends that are involved in the same things that are against God's will in your life that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you decide to make a change. I hope you pray that prayer for forgiveness and pray that prayer for direction in your life and for overcoming those things in your life. You'll find that maybe your friends don't appreciate that. They want you to stay as you are.
Yeah.
And that will be a pull on your heart.
It will. But you may also, at the same time, by your conduct and your example, you may help someone else to come to that same understanding and Bible truth.
Yeah.
And so by your example, you can help someone else to overcome things as well. But the point is, it isn't easy.
No.
You know, being a Christian, there's a Bible verse that says you need to count the cost, right?
Yes.
There's a cost involved.
Right.
But the benefits and the total investment is it's eternity. It's eternity with God and His Son.
And it's not eternity in the sinful world like we're living now.
Nothing like this. No.
No.
It's going to be absolute. There will be no death, no sorrow, no pain, no sickness.
Right.
All of these things, the former things have passed away,
right,
is what it says.
None of walking in the flesh anymore.
Correct. Yeah, we won't be tempted by the devil because he's going to be put away. He will never, he's going to be destroyed according
to
the Bible.
He's not going to exist anymore.
Yeah. So sin and death will be gone forever.
Yeah.
And this is the beauty of the gospel. This is what this is preparing us for.
Right. Now, preparing us now.
Preparing us today for eternity. So this is why we preach this message.
God is not going to force you into this way of living.
Nope. No, he will not.
But if you decide in your heart that you love God because he loved us, he sent his Son, that you want to be obedient to him, God has provided a way for that to occur in your life. And only those that love God are going to be in the kingdom.
Mm, that's so true.
If you don't love God, why would you want to be there?
Yeah, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. So, you know, let's go back to Romans 8. All of these things come together. So here's Paul, and this is after his conversion.
Yes.
And he still has this inward struggle.
Yes.
So where would you like to pick up here, Ed?
Let's read verses 14 through 17, if you could read that
sure.
for us.
Romans 8, beginning in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
You know, in verse 15 it talks, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, that spirit of bondage, that slavery to sin.
Right.
But you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba meaning Father. Father, Father. There's this intimate cry to God. And, you know, that phrase is mentioned in a couple of places in the Bible. If you could go to Mark chapter 14, Mark, and read... The phrase is in verse 36, but probably you'll need to read around it to get the context of the setting there.
Let's see, Mark 14, probably starting in verse 32.
Okay.
This is Jesus' prayer in the garden, isn't it? Gethsemane.
Just before his death.
Yeah. It says, then they came to a place which is named Gethsemane, and he, that's Jesus, said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. And he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch for the hour? So the point that you're making here is, he goes on to say, he says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah. So here Jesus, in his hour of trial, of temptation, he was saying, Father, I really don't want to do this.
Mm.
He says, Abba, Father, this intimate relationship that he has with his Father. In his time of great stress and trial, he uses that term to talk to his Father and say, not my will, but your will be done.
Amen.
And so here in Romans 8:15, we see, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father, help us in our time of need.
It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, the same cry that Jesus had, we can have.
Yes.
And it's only because of what Christ has done for us.
Right.
Once again.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 4.
Okay.
You notice we're in Galatians a lot, Romans a lot. They're
yeah.
just beautiful chapters, or beautiful books.
They are.
Galatians 4, I want to read verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, coming into being out of a woman, having come under the law, that he might redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, also an heir of God through Christ. No longer a slave to sin, because God has sent the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That same cry for help that he cried to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, that cry cries within us as well, because we have the Spirit of Christ.
Amen. And that's what Paul understands here.
Yeah.
And he realizes that this is how to overcome. And this is what we hope that by reading these verses, by reading these chapters, that you understand when you hear these things, because it's a lonely feeling to think, I have to overcome this.
Right.
And I can't do it. I can't do it. But we can claim this promise. We can claim that God will help us to overcome it. So did you have another thought there, Ed?
Yes, let's go to Titus, the book of Titus. We don't go there very much.
No, we don't.
Chapter 3. Again, this is going to be the modern King James Version. And Titus 3, reading verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves, this is Paul that wrote this book, he's talking about himself. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, slaving for various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, you notice here God's also called our Savior.
Yes.
As well as our Savior Jesus Christ is called that. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, God's mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Mm.
So God, we receive the Spirit of God, the Father of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, because God dwells in Christ, and Christ dwells in us.
Right.
We read that in John 17.
Yes, we do. And, you know, we've talked about that at length in the past.
Yes.
And, you know, understanding these things, you know, I'm still learning, Ed, each time that we go through this. I always pick up something that maybe I hadn't known before.
Right.
And this is why regular Bible reading is so important.
Look what Paul is saying about himself. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, slaving for various lusts and pleasures. He was a human being just like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
He's experienced the same temptations and trials in his life. But he was changed when he met Jesus Christ. He was changed when he received the Spirit of Christ, who brings us the Spirit of God. Because he's the mediator, he's the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by him.
But by him. And Paul talks about this in Romans 8 also.
Yeah.
He doesn't mention the word mediator. He uses a different word.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how many things Christ is to us. You know what I mean?
He's our high priest.
Yes.
He's our mediator. He's our comforter. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor is what you're talking about in Romans 8.
That's what he talks about right here in Romans 8. And we kind of touched on that last week. And I don't know that we have time. We won't have time to read through the rest of Romans 8.
Right.
But the point is, you know, we'll come back to this next week. We still have a couple of minutes, Ed. And I really, the purpose behind this study, friends, is to help you to recognize that there is a way out.
Yes, the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And this is the only way to eternal life. And you quoted this earlier, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And Jesus is speaking here. Thomas, he says, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Jesus said to him, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me.
The reason Thomas is asking that question, because Jesus in chapter 13, after the Last Supper, tells him, I'm going to be leaving you.
Right.
And where I'm going,
you can't come. Yeah. And so he even says, in verse 2 of John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Right.
And where you go, or where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And this is the key verse that I wanted to hone in on. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Right.
So Christ is the only way to salvation. And when you read it earlier in Acts,
the way.
So he is the way. We talk about, you know, so many times growing up, my church, they would call it the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They called the church the truth. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they were doing. But that's not true. The church isn't the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth.
Right.
And, you know, people think, well, if you're attached to this church, you get eternal life. No, Jesus Christ is the life.
A church can't save you. Your pastor can't save you. We can't save ourselves, let alone anybody else.
So true. We can't.
All we can do is point people to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the story of the gospel.
Amen. And Jesus ultimately points us to his Father.
Yes.
Because the Father is the source of everything.
Right.
There is no life without the Father. There is no eternal life without Christ Jesus.
Right.
So this is why Jesus is the way to the Father. He's the truth of the Father. He is the life. The Father has given him.
Jesus came to this earth to represent his Father, so people would know who his Father is, what he was like. Jesus only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak because he knew those words would lead people to life everlasting.
Amen.
The miracles that are performed were done through the power of the Spirit of his Father, Spirit of God.
Yes.
So it was the kindness and love of his Father, God, that these miracles were performed.
Absolutely. Which shows God's love for each and every one of us, that he gave his Son for this very purpose,
right,
to bring us back to what was lost. We're out of time, Ed. Time just flies by.
Yeah.
So next week, let's pick up in Romans chapter 8, right around here where we left off. I think it was around verse 18. I already closed my Bible. And we'll see if we can finish out the chapter next week.
Yeah.
All right? So let's just have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to be here this evening and to be able to open your word and just go through these verses that we can know and understand the plan of salvation and that you haven't left us alone, that you will send the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, that we too can cry, Abba, Father, as we read here today. So, Father, please be with us. Help us to make changes in our lives. Help us to receive Jesus, because this is the only way that we can overcome. Father, we just ask for your blessing until we come together again, and we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks so much. We'll pick up again next week. And friends, we hope to meet you here next week right here on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. next Sunday. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.